Shalom Aleichem to everybody. Here we are. Sukkot is upon us. We've just finished the Yom Nuraim season, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and here we continue to climb the ladder in our Ruchnias. The Yom Tov of Sukkot is upon us, and listen to the words of the Rambam. The end of Hilchos Lulav, Perek Ches, says the Rambam, Afal pi shekol ha-moados, mitzvah l'smachmem. Even on all the Yom Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, there's a mitzvah to be happy. Bechag ha-sukkos ha-yisr sham b'mikdash simcha yisera. The Yom Tov of Sukkot, bizman shebeis ha-mikdash kaim, when the beis ha-mikdash was stood erect, there was an even greater amount of joy that took place. Of course, there is referencing to the simchas beis ha-shreva, the joyous event, the water libation that took place. But the entire Yom Tov of Sukkot is a Yom Tov of simcha, as we say in our liturgy, in our davening, zman simcha seino. Sukkot is the time of great joy, of great happiness. And of course, it begs the question, what is it about Sukkot? And why is the Yom Tov of Sukkot the happiest of all holidays? More than Pesach, more than Shavuos, more than any of the other days on the calendar, it's Sukkot that's referred to as a Zman Simchaseinu. Let's try to understand that. Let's first start by looking at some current statistics. 33% only of Americans say that they are happy. Depression is significantly up. One in every American is depressed. In a Forbes recent survey, they said that most Americans are unhappy at work. Suicide, unfortunately, also is on the rise. One in every 11 minutes, a suicide takes place. But these statistics that I share with you are all pre-COVID. But now, during the difficult, challenging times that we find ourselves in, the distancing, the sequestering, the quarantining, the separation has advanced this level of depression, suicide, and all forms of happiness to a much lower level. It's not easy. It's a challenge and it's hard. How do we find happiness? What's joy? Have you ever heard of Alvin Wong? Well, most of us, most of the world, myself included, never heard of Alvin Wong. But in 2011, Alvin Wong became almost a household name after the health index at Gallup searched for 3 years for who is the happiest man in America. And I quote, they found and they came up with the following. The happiest man in America is a tall, Asian American, observant Jew, who is at least 65. He's married and has children, lives in Hawaii and runs his own business. He has a household income with a little bit more than $120,000 a year. That is the index. That's the algorithm that they came up with at Gallup to decide and to decipher and to determine who the happiest man in America is. Meet Alvin Wong, 5'10". 69-year-old Chinese-American kosher observing Jew who's married with children, lives in Honolulu, runs his own healthcare management business, and earns more than $120,000 a year. Here he is, Alvin Wong, the happiest man in America. But what makes Wong happy? You can read the interviews and you can read the reports throughout the years as they continue to follow Wong in his life. And Wong explains that it's satisfaction. It's the ability to be satisfied with what is and what exists. Of course, he's not familiar with our well-known adage of our sages and avos, Ezehu sameach bechelko. He who is wealthy is happiest. Ezehu ashir, asameach bechelko. I have what I need. I'm satisfied with what exists. Everything that I have is significant. And I thank Hashem for that which I've given. And thus Wong understood that it's not necessary looking for more or looking what's outside of me, but looking at my family, my friends, my business, my religion, and being satisfied that I've been given all the tools that I need to be happy, even in challenging, dark, difficult times. When we recognize what we have, and it's enough, and even the basics, that should allow man to be so happy and to cherish what exists. The Avos, says Rabbi Yonasan Eibschitz, and for the first 1,000 years since the time of creation, men lived a very long life. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. For the first 10 generations, the second set of generations, men lived hundreds and hundreds of years, close to 1,000 years. Asks Rabbi Yonasan Eibschitz a question that we've always wondered, why? And what the change? How could it be that for hundreds and hundreds of years, upwards of 1,000 years, people lived for hundreds of years, and today that doesn't happen? Listen to what Rabbi Yonasan Eibschitz says, and he explains that there's real reason for that. And it's not just by chance, but it's because they lived very simple lives, in tents, in huts, appreciated nature, were satisfied with what they had, and therefore there wasn't the pull and the push and the tug and the looking and the searching and the wanting and desiring. Because when you live with yourself, when you live with your world, when you live with your surroundings, you're so happy with what you have. You become more of an earthy person, and you appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You look up at the sky and to the cosmos, and you can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thus says Rabbi Yonasan Eipshitz in his Sefer Yaros Dvash and his Drushes. That's why the Avos, the Imahos, the Shvatim, and later generations live such long, productive, happy, and healthy lives. But the challenges, the depression, the suicide rate, and all of the things are coming from that push and that pull, that want and that desire. And that's why the tenth of the Aseres Hadibros is Lo Sachmon, not to covet. Because when you covet what you desire, you're never satisfied with what you have. But we have to realize that just as a simpleton knows that he will never marry the princess, so too we have to recognize that what we have is enough. So explains the Ibn Ezra on the lav of Lo Sachmod. But if you continue looking at the lives of the Avos, says the Medrash, Hashem Beirach es Avram Bakol, Avram was blessed with everything. Yitzchak Mikol had everything. Yaakov Kol, they had whatever they needed. Esav said, Yesh li Rav, I have enough. But I want more, I have plenty. But Yaakov said, Yesh li kol, I have everything that I need. Says the Medrash, Hashem, Beirach es Avram Bakol, Zu Sukkah. Yaakov is keneged the Yom Tov of Sukkos because they had what they needed. And when we enter our Sukkos, we enter the Diras Arai, the temporary dwelling places. We leave our homes. We leave the amounts of physicality that we have. We enter and we sit under the stars and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you. Even three walls and Schach is satisfactory. It's enough. I'm so happy with what you've given me. And thus the Yom Tov of Sukkos speaks to the world and the lives of the Avos, the Bakol, the Mikol, the Kol, recognizing that what you have given me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the life personally, the family that I have, the situation that you've placed me in, the world pandemic, if I'm able to look at what I have, what I've been given, what I've been blessed with, that should be giving me enough and I should be happy with that. Says the Gateshead Rosh Yeshiva that's the pshat in what we say on Sukkos, Mashiv HaRuach Umoid HaGesh, and we begin to recite that. Why dafka now on Sukkos? And says the Mashkiach Rosh Yeshiva and the Gateshead the following, Mashiv HaRuach, if you want to uplift and bring back Ruach, Ruchnias, Morid Geshem, decrease Gashmias. When you lower your desires, when you're an Ashir because you're Sameach Bechokel, you'll be Male, and you'll be Morid the Geshem to such a place because no longer will you focus on the Gashmias, on the Geshem, but you're Moshiv and you're Merid the Ruchnias. That's what we have to do. And so explains many of the Bali Musar and the thinkers that the reason for the institution and the recital, Shabbos Cholamoid of Koheles, Dafkan Sukkos, because Koheles said, Hevel Havolim, Hakol Hevel, the world and everything that exists is all fallow, and is all simple, and is all base. I don't need to run after everything. Hevel Havolim, when I have my Sukkah, when I have my basic dwelling places, when I see and I'm able to exist in a temporary hut, in the tent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tachas Tzel Knofecha Tastireinu, I'm so satisfied, I'm so happy, and I recognize that's enough. At the end of the Sefer Aruch L'Nei Rabbi Yaakov Emlinger, writes the great German Rav in his Siyum to Meseches Sukkah, that the Pshat in the Mishnah, Daf Beis of an Aleph Meseches Sukkah, that Sukkah L'mayla B'esrim, a Sukkah that's above 20, almost roughly two stories high, is Pasul. And the Gemara explains that the reason that a very tall, high Sukkah is Pasul, as the Gemara says, is because then you're sitting B'tzel Defanos, you're sitting in the shade of the Dofen of the walls. The Dofen, the walls, represents this world, represents Gashmias, represents an existence of physicality. And when a Sukkah is so tall, I'm sitting in the world of Kochi V'otzim Yadi Asi Lias Achayel Azeh. I'm sitting where I've built, what I've created, what I've erected, and I can't see Tzel HaShchina. I no longer could see the hovering over clouds of God. Thus the walls have to be lower so I could sit Betzel HaShchina, not Betzel Defanos, not in the shadow of my handiwork, not in the shadow of my possessions, not in the shadow of what I've built, what I've created. But Sel Shechina sitting under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mats, sitting under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's clouds, recognizing, realizing that everything that I have comes from Borei Olam. If I have that, I'm living the world of Diras Arai. I'm living this temporary world where I can have Bakol, Mikol, Kol. I have everything I need. I don't need to look for more. I'm satisfied. It's the world of Alvin Wong. It's the world of the Sukkah. It's the world of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Avos, the Most, the Shvatim, who recognize that they live in with the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm Sameach Bechelko, and that's my ultimate Ashiras. There's an unbelievable story. A man by the name of Matt Schreier, probably not a household or a familiar name, but Matt Schreier was an American Jewish photographer who was doing a scene and taking pictures and video in Syria in very difficult wartime events, and Al-Qaeda caught him and found him and jailed him and placed him in a cell in a prison. Alongside him was another journalist, an American, Peter Curtis. And both found themselves in a very intense Al-Qaeda jail. And the story goes as follows. Schreier noticed one day as he was close to the window in the cell that the bars in the window were a bit loose. And as he started touching and feeling them, he noticed not only were they loose, but he could move them. They were not secured properly. And he called over Curtis and said to Curtis, "Look, there's a possibility for us to escape, to leave. Let's do it." And as the month of Ramadan appeared, closer and closer, they planned their escape. And slowly, Schreier recognized that they woke up very early. And then they went to take a very long early morning break, and they were prepared on the first day of Ramadan to escape. V'haya hayom, the day came. Schreier was prepared, and he tells Curtis, "Let's do it, let's go." Schreier escapes, and he turns to Curtis. Curtis says, "I can't leave, I can't go." And Schreier leaves, escapes to freedom. What we see here is something phenomenal. Matt Schreier spoke about this. When a person is able to see what exists in front of him, even in the darkness, in the jail, in the dungeon, in the difficult circumstances, if a human being is able to recognize the experiences and the situation around him, I'm able to find an escape out of the dark, out of the very difficult, challenging situations, from underground to above, from darkness to night, me'afela le'ora, mishiba le'gula, literally. But Curtis was so down, so depressed, he wasn't able to see what existed. He wasn't able to see the light within the darkness. One of the things that we need to be doing now, and the situation that we find ourselves in, when it's bleak, when it's dark, when there's distancing and quarantine, when we're separated, when the lives we're living are not the way we're used to, when quote-unquote we're not living what we did in the past, and the new normal has taken us into situations where we are challenged, and the happiness quota has dropped, and depression is on the rise, and we don't see where things are going next. The goal is to live the world of Sukkah, the world of Diras Arai, the world of Sameach Bechelko, the world of the Avos, the world of Bakol Mikol Kol. I have what I need. Recognize what I have instead of the have-nots. Recognize that the glass is half full and not half empty. Appreciate the things that we are given, the basics. That's the Sukkah. The Sukkah is the world of the basics. It's living the Diras Arai. It's throwing out Hakol Hevel Havolim. I don't need anything else. I recall and I reflect every single year when our family goes into our Sukkah and neighbors see and they wonder and they question. They hear the songs, they hear the peace and the joy and the satisfaction, the Simcha of Yom Tov, the Simcha space of Shreve that we've joined in together. They say, that's a life, that's a world of happiness, that's joyous. What is it about it? What are you doing? Now more than ever, we need Simcha in our lives. But Simcha is not a quick fix. It's not something that happens automatic. It's cognitive. It's mental. It's in our heart and it's in our soul. If we recognize that the Yom Tov of Sukkah is the joy, the happiness that exists because we have what we need. Hashem has given us the situation, the challenges, the ups and downs, the highs and lows that are perfectly orchestrated, manufactured, and tailor-made for us. That's what Sukkah is. And as Rabbi Yonasan Eipshit says in that Maimer, and Yaros Dvash, you can't just live this life in the Sukkah. But when we exit Sukkot, we take the Diras Arai with us. We take this life of living temporarily, satisfied with what we have, recognizing that what we have is enough, back into our homes. We recognize that we can do it. We can live a life of Sukkot throughout the year. Be happy and satisfied with it. Let's live this joyous Yom Tov of Sukkot and appreciate what we have. Bring it back into the year, wishing everybody the opportunity to live, to joy, and to have a wonderful Zman Simchaseinu. Good Yom Tov to each of you.